All right, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. And here tonight is Adi Pachak to tell his awakening story. We started a series of videos where this is the fifth episode. I'm just trying to interview various people in all the different communities. So all topics that people research, not any one topic. I just want people to come on and tell their personal journey through, you know, whatever it is that, quote-unquote, woke them up. Their journey through that topic, what it led them to, what else they looked into, what they're looking into now, how it's affected their life, their relations with people, have they had success waking people up. A bunch of questions like that. You guys will get the hang of it. But we will be on video. This is our second one on full video because I just figured out how to do it as I'm still new to the whole YouTube thing. So without any further ado, let me introduce RD. RD, how you doing?
Hello, very good. Thank you for having me on. Episode 5, I appreciate it. That's like what? The second episode in the new Star Wars, so this would be like Obi-Wan and I'm terrible, right? This would be like Obi-Wan and young Anakin episode. This would be like episode 2.
Guy, you're a far cry from Obi-Wan.
I know, right? Plus, even better yet, see, episode 5, it'll get Mandela'd, and I'll be episode 7 or something in like a couple weeks.
Maybe you won't even exist, so.
I might not even exist. It'll be like, I don't know. Instead of R.D. Pachak, it'd be like J.C. Pachak or something. Some other dude.
Guy, I wouldn't be surprised.
It was the guy that Tom Selleck, T.C. from, what the hell show was that? Tom Selleck. What was that? Magnum P.I. It'd be like T.C. Pachak or something. I don't know. I'm just now messing around, but we're having some fun.
All right. So, okay, the first question I like to ask people is, what first made you realize that basically world governments and the media, maybe it came in stages for you, but for a large majority, they could not be trusted and you needed to research things on your own, like the quote-unquote woke-up moment. What was it for you, and when was it?
I mean, this is kind of a long path, so you ready for the long path?
That's fine.
Yeah. Yes, okay. You helped me along. You kind of know my story a little bit too, obviously, us being personal friends. But, I mean, I think that where it really started before I got, and I don't know, what is awake, completely awake? I don't know. There's different levels of that, right? So we could debate that all day long. But before I even got, like, somewhat awake, if you will, let's put it that way, or more aware of how things work, I guess. I had a lot of problems at work. And I'm a teacher, and I got suspended unjustly, and I challenged some things at work through my union, and I won my cases, and blah, 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 yakety schmackety. And long story short is I realized that the school system wasn't as it seemed to be. And in particular, what I thought I would join was a teacher's union that represented independently the teachers. And then I realized, once you have any problems within the union, as I went through the process, ultimately who hears your case is someone from the school board, but that's who you're up against in your case to begin with.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
So you're it's rigged from the beginning. So it's like when you challenge the system, right, you automatically know that I'm trying to give a good analogy, but like for, you know, but it'd be like, you know, you challenge the system, but yet there it'd be like if you had a problem with someone and went to court and they were allowed to pick their own judge and any judge they wanted, the system's already rigged. And that's kind of the way it was. And I realized, wow. But luckily I had a good judge the first time, so to speak. I had a superintendent that ruled for me. He was very fair. But the second time I had a union issue, that wasn't the case. So and it really opened my mind to things where I said to myself, well, wait a second. If this whole process of fair labor, if you will, in the school system is rigged, then what else could be rigged?
And how
that's
long
what
ago
led
was
me
this?
To start looking into other things.
When was this? How long ago?
Ooh, that's a good question. So this is why I was kind of like, I think I probably woke up around 2010-ish because it's roughly when I got go figure, right? A Facebook page. And Facebook always kindly reminds me I have friends and all this thing back to that, right? Your memories, right? All that you see on Facebook. I'm thinking this was prior to that though. So this was a couple years before that. So this was probably roughly 2000. Knowing 2007, 2008.
All right. So after you came to that kind of realization, and you obviously realized through your employment that whole system was pretty rigged. When did you start looking into, say, you know, big events, or even, you said you're a teacher. You teach what? History, correct?
Social studies, yeah. So okay. History,
so
and economics,
when did you start question? When did you start questioning what you were teaching? Because
I'd always question things a little bit. I think naturally, like anyone else. But this really opened my eyes to, because I have an undergrad in economics, to kind of go back and look more at the whole case of monopolies. Because a lot of what I studied my undergrad was monopolies. So I went back and looked at it from that point of view, and monopolies in general. And I was surprised how monopolies are still very much in existence. Now they're more oligopolies than monopolies. I would make that argument. But so, and this led me into, again, of course, the Federal Reserve system and the money system.
So that was the big thing for you in the beginning, the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
Like some people it's 9/11, some people it's this, that. Yours is the Federal Reserve.
I think really it was probably more Federal Reserve, because then the first big book that I read, someone, I can't remember who referred it, I came across somewhere watching different things. I remember seeing Bill Still's Money Masters, but not like believing the whole thing. But I came across Eustace Mullins and that book, The Secret to the Federal Reserve. And I found the PDF online, but I ended up buying the book too. And I read that book and it just blew me away. Eustace Mullins, Secrets of the Federal Reserve. I don't know. You've seen that book. You're familiar with it.
But yeah, I haven't read it, but I know what it is. Yeah.
I believe he passed not too long ago, maybe 5 to 7 years ago, maybe a little bit more than that. But he worked for National Archives. But he wrote a bunch of books about the New World Order or the One World Government, whatever you want to call the powers to be, if you will. And one of them being The Secrets of the Federal Reserve. And he documented it very well because he worked for the National Archives right in D.C., so he was able to get a hold of the information pretty easily, I think, or more easily than other people, because he was by trade already a librarian/researcher for archives.
So
he also wrote a book about anti-vaccine buck and other things, but that was the main thing, and that really kind of opened my eyes to the Federal Reserve Act, that I was like, what? They're not a government bank. What? They're privately owned. They issued shares of stock back in 1912. They issued shares of stock like
it's the biggest racketeering scheme there is,
right,
dude.
I was like, what? We can't buy public shares, but they issued private shares because it was reported in the old historic New York Times, like 1912-ish, I think. Could be off on the dates. And you know, there was the London connection, if you will, with the London banks, the City State of London and Lord Montague. And so forth, these power brokers, if you will, on Wall Street. And, of course, the usual suspects, the Rockefellers and the J.P. Morgans and the Rothschilds.
Yeah,
and
of course.
And, you know, all these names come out of it and all these families connected, the Warburgs and the Schiffs and so forth. And, you know, Kuhn Loeb, of course, and Wells Fargo and all the companies that really originally bought the Federal Reserve. There's a couple of them right there. And you go down this path and you're just shocked. And then you read, wait a second, loans just... Wait, but even the banking system in general, you said to yourself, is rigged? What? And you say, well, wait, I can, when I go and get a loan, not just the Federal Reserve, but if I go and get a loan from a bank, the bank just loans me money they don't even have? Like, how can they do that? But that's what they do.
Yeah, it's the biggest scam of all time. I imagine I could do that to you. Adi, here's a piece of paper. Hey, you owe me $500. I'll see you next week.
That's what I was saying. I was like, wait a second. You mean a bank can just loan you money they don't even have? And they're like, yeah. And you're like, well, why? And they're like, well, we don't know why. And then you finally get to the end of it. And there's more to it than just the why. But there's the part where they go, where finally you figure out, you get so far in it. And you go, well, because the Federal Reserve allows them to do that. Because the Federal Reserve controls them. So really, they borrow the money ultimately from the Federal Reserve. But it's because the Federal Reserve says it's okay. But wait a second. I can't just loan anyone, anybody money? So it you know, it drove me nuts.
Upstairs? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, please. Oh, okay. I'll do it in a minute, okay, because I'm on a live video. Sorry, Adi.
Oh, anyway, I'm waiting on your price. No, that's okay.
No, it's cool. So, after that, right, after you looked into that, what would you say because I met you probably in about 2010, right?
Yep. So this and is probably before that still.
Yeah, yeah.
Before
no,
I
this
met
is,
you. Even.
This is before
this
that.
This would probably be like 2008-ish, 2009-ish, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and
you
I
know,
met
and
you
the Federal
in...
Federal Reserve took me so far.
I met you in 9/11 circles from talking about 9/11 and whatnot. How did
so.
You
yep.
How did you transition from the Federal Reserve to looking into 9/11?
I think because once I started going down the Federal Reserve path and looking more into the illegalities of the Federal Reserve, yeah, the rabbit hole, if you will, down the rabbit hole, it opened up a lot of other avenues, and you know, you get a lot of feeds and things like that in your YouTube, and one of them was 9/11, of course, because then it's like, well, the government is doing this, and they're doing this with money, but they're, you know, the argument then was, well, they're not just controlling the money. Or not even the government. There's these people that are controlling them, and then you're like, ah, it can't be just a couple of people. But then you realize over and over and over again, it's the same families. You keep coming across this rotation of families. You keep coming across with this monopoly power, this Federal Reserve power. But in any event, like, you know, it. Eventually, I guess I came across some 9/11 things, and I think the big first film I watched was. Sorry, doing a little good incense here, some good lavender incense. Was Loose Change, I think. Even though I'm not a big fan, of course, now of Loose Change, there's a lot of things I disagree with it.
Yeah.
But it did wake me up. It made me,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I looked
yeah.
at, a lot of people say this, I think. I looked at Loose Change, and it really did make me question some things. And then there was another video, I think there was a guy from Georgia or something did on 9/11. You've probably seen him. He's kind of a balding older guy. I think he was
balding
from Georgia area or something. I remember him being from the South.
I'm not sure.
I
mean, I'm sure I've probably
event,
seen
I,
it, but I'm not
I
sure.
looked at his documentary, and it was Loose Change-esque. And then, of course, I mean, I got to give him kudos. As much as I don't want to give Bill Hicks kudos. Bill Hicks? Wait, Alex Jones? No, I'm kidding, of course. But I really am actually kidding. But, yes, I did. I was a big Alex Jones fan. Because, you know, Alex talked about 9/11 and all these things. But he, and again, you know, it took me a long time to figure out. You actually helped me with this, and Justin a lot. Of like, Alex will take you so far, but then chop it off.
Yeah.
You know, but that's his role, I think. I mean,
oh,
I do
yeah.
believe that he has controlled
yeah,
opposition. That's his role. It is to take you and keep you in this little box. And how had I not gotten out of this? But anyway, I'm digressing.
He's literally
but
a gatekeeper.
But I got into more Alex Jones stuff.
He's a gatekeeper for the
so,
mainstream media is really what
yeah,
he is.
Yeah. You know what? But that was the thing, too. He was easy. Like, I remember telling people about him, and, like, I remember my parents got really mad at me for bringing up Alex Jones, and you can't believe in this crazy conspiracy theorist guy stuff, and he's just a glorified DJ, and to some degree, they're right. But what they weren't right is there's this whole other deeper level that,
yeah.
you know.
yeah, that he's
Alex
portrayed
Jones
to be
like
that deeper level
this
of truth,
much
but he's
the
not.
Surface.
Yeah, yeah, so... How did you get past that? How did you get to the point? Okay, not even specifically him, because that might be hard to remember. How did you get to the
yeah.
point where you get into? Okay, you realize the school system's rigged. You realize you probably realized at that time. I'm thinking the
money.
Media was rigged. Did you think that by that time you had strong suspicions that the media was rigged? I would assume, even before
yeah, I mean,
fake video on 9/11
right.
and stuff. I mean, getting into just the overall narrative of the media, you would assume
yeah,
that it was
yes.
it was controlled
yes.
at the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's take a back step a little bit. At some point, too, like, I'll be honest, when I was younger, I was more of a Democrat and a registered Democrat. And then as I got older, I became a Republican. And then I didn't like either party. I agree with this whole left-right, but I didn't see the big picture. So I became more of a libertarian. I think this happens to a lot of awake people, you know,
yep.
and I became more of like a libertarian. But then I saw even that being kind of co-opted, the Ron Paul
yeah.
thing and all that.
Yeah.
So that kind of really woke me up, too, because what happened was actually Justin, I think, helped me a lot. You helped me a lot with some of the 9/11 things, like waking up to some things. But Justin and I had many, many conversations about like Ron Paul and the gold standard. And I was still pretty hip on the gold standard, meaning the what is it called? The Austrian economics. And money can be backed by gold and all that, because that's the whole
yeah.
Ron Paul.
Yeah, but all the stuff that they talk about,
Republican
the Republicans, view. All the stuff the libertarians talk, and then Ron Paul,
yeah.
he ended up wanting, he ended up emailing all his supporters and telling them to vote for Lamar Smith, who was a Republican, a staunch Republican.
Yeah. So, anyway, long story short, the whole the gold standard's never going to work. And I was like, well, why, Justin? He's like, well, basically, because it's still going to be controlled. I was like, well, why? And then I looked into it, and he was right. I mean, the gold is set by the London Bullion Market Association, the LBMA, which is the Rothschild. So they set the price of gold every day. So if we put everything in gold, you still get the same families, same people setting the price of gold and control the amount of money. So whether it's oil, whether it's dollars, whether it's gold, they're still controlling the prices and rigging the market. So you're just washing one hand with the other. You know, you're not really changing the system.
No, absolutely. Well, speaking of the system, so you're looking into 9/11. Obviously, that, okay, like everybody that's looked into it knows it's a progression. So what you thought in the beginning isn't what you thought in the end.
Yeah, and you obviously asked me about media, so I started going more with, well, media is just ridiculous. You know, you have your obvious.
Oh, that reminds me that you said that.
Conservative, your obvious CNN liberal. You got some in between, but you got mainly your liberals, mainly medias, and then your Fox. And this is kind of how they got us divided.
The reason I was asking about the media is because, okay, so you realize that the media is controlled, and then you realize 9/11 isn't what they say it is. So when did you realize there was this whole thing of alternative media where all these people are put in place to pretend they're out there to give, I won't say all alternative media, but, you know, most of them. I will say, let's just say that the idea of gatekeepers being out there. When did you start to realize that, okay, these people, like, not just Alex Jones, you know, all the people you could name in all these different circles, like, when did you realize you can't just fall into that trap and trust these people either?
No, it's tough. It's tough to see. I think you helped me out with that a lot. I mean, I would have to give kudos to you, I think, on a fair amount of that, because 9/11, you helped me see, I think, that regardless of where you are at 9/11, and you and I might not, and no one's going to agree, I think, on every little specific detail, but I think what you really helped me understand was with the no plane thing, and even other little details, whether we're in agreement or not, like, you will get demonified, if that's demon, what's the word? But you will get, like, tossed out of groups and just shunned and everything by these people, you know, in Facebook groups or whatnot, for believing a certain angle on 9/11. They won't even entertain the discussion. And there's something wrong there when you just automatically just get, you know, they put you in a box, they put you in a corner whenever no planes came up. And you thoroughly kind of proved that to me. Because, you know, you would say, hey, Artie, come look at this conversation or whatever, and jump in this group and follow it. And look, and then watch, they're going to toss me, and they did. Because we started talking about no blades, and they tossed me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was being
it
everybody.
Was like, I was like, holy shit, he's right. Like, and then, you know, more and more, is like every time I tried to, like, people were like, they would just shut you down. You know,
yeah.
But it wasn't, it's not just no planes. There's other issues, too. You know, there's definitely
other
issues.
And this same rhetoric, which in some issues I assume we're probably going to get later in your story, but other issues that I look into, I see the same type of behavior as I did with the no planes. You know, everything I look into is a psyop, and that, you know, according to other people, until they decide to catch up. And that's one of the reasons I've always liked you is, you know, you don't do that. You don't just brush off things without looking at them.
I learned the hard way. I mean, I used to a little bit, I'll be honest. I wasn't really great about it myself, but I've learned the hard way that, you know, you make a lot of mistakes. You really do. As you learn and go through this thing, and then you gotta, and then after a while you realize, wow, I used to think this, but now maybe this might actually be right. So I've learned the hard way, like, don't close the doors on something right away. As goofy as it sounds, don't close the doors on it right away. I mean, at least entertain it and leave the door open a little bit. And if you disagree with it, you disagree with it. But you might realize, like, you know, you might come back to it later and say, wow, I'm starting to lean over on this side. Like, you know, I really did think you were a little nuts bringing up all the flat earth stuff. But then, you know, we started looking into certain things. Now we're diversing that. But that's much further down the road. But there again, you know, there's certain things with the flat earth that you really got to question. Obviously, but let's bring that up later, because that's much further down the road in terms of my awakening.
Sure.
But yeah.
So after 9/11, which you know, we could do a whole show.
I think 9/11, and then I think, you know, I still was big into the Federal Reserve, and then one of the things that hit me hard. There's two other things that hit me hard. I can't remember in what order, but chemtrails, and I'm still very pissed off about chemtrails and vaccines. Those two things I started looking into a lot.
Yeah,
so,
what's your opinion on vaccines?
One to me was like, you see it every day. You can't tell me they're not spraying every effing day, right? And you see the lines. And what plane is going to drive at these kind of angles? They fly like this once they get up there. They're not going to just waste fuel to spray.
Hey, and they fly like this all the time.
Yeah,
they don't do any.
People want to have fights with you like, well, no, they're going to do contrails. No, just these little planes that aren't even big 747s or whatever, or they don't say Southwest or American Airlines on it, and they're tiny planes. They're not going to be driving up to the sky like this, just blowing freaking contrails for no reason, wasting all kinds of fuel all the time. Who's got that kind of money? I mean, what, you know, and then now there's the whole fuel thing. So maybe I'm not thinking about this right, too. But let's forget about that for now. But who's going to – seriously, there's still some money and cost doing this, right? So
yeah,
who's going to blow all this money? No, you're not, unless there's
something else going on.
But we know now,
madness.
Too. You know, you interview farmers, and the farmers will admit they've been geoengineering on a local scale forever.
Of course. Of course.
Meaning they would fly up and put things in the clouds to make it rain. They've been, like, above their farm.
Yeah, 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 of course.
You know, not forever, but
that's,
you know,
easy
what,
to do.
In the 70s or 80s.
It's admitted technology,
right?
Now. You know, they offer for, like, $50,000, you can pay a company that will let you guarantee that it's not going to rain over your wedding.
Right. So, you know, I don't know really what they are still. You know, there's the different tests that supposedly they're barium, and it's mainly barium and aluminum and strontium. Those are the main three metals. Yeah. You know, there's different theories with transhumanism and depopulation that it's multifaceted, like most of these things, right? I got into a big group. I was like, well, is this just happening here? Then I started talking to, you know, Facebook, you can talk to anyone. But then I joined geoengineeringwatch.org or whatever. People have seen those two films. What were those two big films? What in the world are they spraying, and why in the world are they spraying, I think, which
was
great.
Yeah, that's it.
Scientists, like legit scientists or meteorologists or whatever, that, you know, realized what the shit's going on, and they did a couple good films about it or whatnot. I wish I remember the guys' names, and in any event. But, and then I realized I'm not alone. There's like another 30,000 people and post pictures from all over the world of chemtrails. And when I say all the world, I mean it, like Thailand, Ireland, you know, Poland, New Zealand, Spain, and then different states, you know, New Mexico, Arizona, Chicago, or cities, you know, whatever. And you realize you're not alone. So,
yeah.
In any event, the chemtrail thing really kind of hit home, and I started digging more and more into that, and I went, wow. But see, that's the thing. Like, once you come at it from the, and here's what I want to get across too, maybe, once you come at it from the financial end, like with the Federal Reserve, you see the names of the money makers, and then you see the names of the money makers again are involved in the same companies who would benefit from the seeds and the chemicals, because they own those companies, and then the same families own this over here, the pharmaceutical stuff, but they're also the same families, not only that own the Federal Reserve, but they also own big chunks of the oil. So here we go again. All these big markets, they're monopolized or oligopolized, if you will, you know, by a few families here own this, but they're all tied into this web, and you really, and people have posted it. Like, this company's linked to this company, and they're really owned by this company. But, you know, just like now, what, the media is down to like six major companies that really are four, depending on what,
like,
you want to argue, that really own the media.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Hey, listen, so before we talk about the vaccines, I want to ask you one more thing about 9/11, because you told everybody you're a teacher and you teach social studies and everything.
Oh, yeah.
What happens when you try to talk about 9/11 in your school, whether it's your opinion, or what happens? Is there a certain curriculum, or how does that go?
Yeah, you can't.
And
you
what age group are you teaching to? What age group are you teaching to, so everybody knows?
High school teacher.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can't. It's one of those things where it's. I don't think they've ever said flat out you can't talk about this. But it's kind of like known and taboo that you shouldn't talk about it. And they certainly, they being the county, will put out curriculum suggestions. Like, if you're a social studies teacher and you're going to deal with 9/11 on this anniversary of 9/11, here's the way to do it if you're going to do it. And they'll give you suggestions. So
what happens if you go against
that? Yeah, it's... You could be reprimanded or pulled into the principal's office, or better yet, investigated, and then you're suspended until they decide that, you know, that's not what you should talk about or whatever. So it's definitely, there's there's a curriculum in a way that they say this is how you have to teach it. You can't really have an open opinion on it.
Well, when you were it would be unheard of to have an
I would love to have an open dialogue, but you know, you would get in trouble, so to speak, if there isn't, if you literally had like just a legit open dialogue. Like, why couldn't you? But you can't. I mean, there's certain still like taboo subjects in even public school. Religion's still one of them, because then, you know, well, you might offend someone, so you can't do that, and it's not about religion. So there we go. But, you know, but 9/11 you can't, even though you would think that's history and, you know, whatever, we should be able to talk about it and debate it, but you can't.
Well,
it's
recently,
not debatable. Here's the story. Here's how you have to present it. That's how you have to present it if you want to talk about it.
Recently, you told me you ran into some issues where you were contacted about some word that came up or whatever. Can you elaborate on that at all or no?
Yeah. I mentioned the word Zionism in class.
And what happened?
Now, without getting into, a lot of details, I was reprimanded for using the word, because supposedly the word Zionism is a racist term, even though that is in the curriculum. Because that's how you teach, quite frankly, when you go back. It's in the textbook, too. It's how you talk about the Israeli-Arab conflict with the Zionist movement and the Balfour Declaration. So, but even though the term Zionist and Zionism is in the, you know.
So it's in your books, but if it comes out of your mouth, that's a problem.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that's absurd. And you see the same type of thing on Facebook. You can't, you know, it's very, people know who they can and they can't talk about without getting a 30-day ban.
Yes. I would agree. There's certain things that you would think that you could express openly on Facebook or other groups. Yes. But you can't, can you?
No, you can't. You can't. So
right. It's just like what YouTube is really Google, isn't it? So, and YouTube will pull you in a heartbeat, too, if you mention certain things.
Yeah, of course. So you said you also looked at vaccines. I'm assuming a lot of the same reasons you looked at the chemtrails. I mean, it's very, very similar topics.
It is, because you go down the road of big pharma and whatnot, and then you start, like, you know, Eustace Mullins also wrote The Secrets of the Federal Reserve, wrote he wrote the book Murder by Injection, which I've only like read once, like really fast. It's a really tiny book, but you know, Murder by Injection was good. I went down the vaccine road partly because my girlfriend's son, I think, you know, he may have gotten, he's autistic. So I think that there might be some connection there. I mean, I believe it. I think she does too. I don't want to speak for her, but I think I could, at least in that case. And I got into a couple vaccine groups, anti-vaccine groups on Facebook. I started doing more research, and I was curious why would they put mercury in vaccines? They disguise the name. They say that mercury is called dimerosal in vaccines, but it's an ingredient that's in the MMR vaccine. So why would anyone ever put mercury in anything for anyone to take?
That's crazy.
Just kept leading me down other roads.
Have you seen Dr. Hilleman, his interview?
That sounds familiar, Brian, but I'm not sure who that is.
Dr. Hilleman was the head of Merck vaccine. And he's on video laughing about how they put cancer into the polio vaccines. But it's not taken out of context. Like, he's dead on laughing
But for whatever reason, I'm not seeing you again. I'm just seeing your page thing. But whatever, I like seeing you. It's easier for me to do the interview. But that's okay. There we go. Awesome. So, no, but I did look at the Dr. Gallo interviews. Is that maybe? There's a Dr. Gallo. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I'm not sure who he is.
Oh, no. You know what? Because Dr. Gallo wasn't vaccines. My bad. I'm getting people mixed up. Dr. Gallo was when I started going down this other road after vaccines. I started saying to myself, well, if vaccines are kind of screwed up, what else were they making, right? And telling us that it's – and then you go down the whole AIDS road. And I realized that what my research took me, that AIDS was created by Dr. Gallo and Merck and Fort Detrick, Maryland, where they do a lot of goofy – science stuff by the Department of Defense up the street. I say up the street because it really is. It's at Aberdeen, Maryland, right up in northeast corner of the state. So, and Dr. Gallo supposedly created the SBV40 virus. Now, I could be getting this wrong. I've been a while since I looked at this stuff. You know, and then they made different mutations off of this virus, which in turn made different cancers, is how I understand it. So AIDS, this is why AIDS technically... United States classifies these 30 different mutations of cancer as AIDS. But yeah, France says these six cancers that are mutated are AIDS. So I was like, well, how can you have different definitions for a different virus, right? If a virus is a virus, it should be a virus no matter where it is. It's the same virus.
Yeah, especially when we're supposed to trust people like the World Health Organization and these type of agencies.
Right. Like,
how is
right.
there not consistency between other quote-unquote developed nations? How can there be such a contradiction? It doesn't even make any sense, dude. Doesn't make any sense.
So vaccines kind of, you know, then I realized, well, there's some nasty things in vaccines. And you know, why would you ever give an infant mercury? Why would you ever give a human being in general mercury? There's trace amounts we absorb, and we do need it. But those are like, you know, particles we take in, and then we take in all kinds of stuff. Our bodies are amazing machines, but, you know, these wonderful, organic, beautiful machines that fight off all this stuff and do all those wonderful things, but yeah, I don't see why would you ever inject yourself with a poison? No one thinks to ask, do they? They never. Have you ever heard of someone actually asking their doctor to read them the ingredients for
they
a vaccine?
Just
I
trust
haven't.
The whole system. They trust the doctors, like they trust the policemen, like they trust the teachers, and like, you know, and not all those people are bad. Most of them are just, you know, they're even more indoctrinated than everybody else, let's be honest, for the most part. Obviously, some people slip out of it like you. So when you started looking into events, okay, obviously 9/11 takes years to go through and to get whatever conclusion you're going to get to. I know for me that, you know, went through many different steps and phases, and then I started to – it's a kind of natural progression towards other events for me, whether it be Sandy Hook or some of the other fake shootings, or for me it was NASA and other things. What did you look into next, like big events, like, you know, after 9/11, did you look into the 7/7? Did you look into, you know, Virginia Tech shooting? Did you look at Sandy Hook? Did you look at Apollo?
7/7 a little bit, Virginia Tech a little bit. Not much.
Those are pretty easy after 9/11, aren't they? To see right through those.
I mean, that was the thing. Like, if they fool us with the money, they're fooling people with the vaccines. I mean, this is kind of – and then Big Pharma, when you understand that. They're spraying us. They're fooling us with the chemtrails and all this. Like, why wouldn't they put 9/11 – try to put 9/11 past us too? You would think that, like, okay, they can't. But, yeah. I looked at a bunch of different things. I did look into JFK a little bit more, but not a whole lot, but a little bit. I'm certainly convinced, obviously, that LBJ was involved. I'll say that at a pretty high level. I think you almost have to be. He was the one that appointed the Warren Commission, right? So if you look at the stooges that got appointed to the Warren Commission, like, he has a stooge for each area of area.
It was like your school board meeting. It was like your school board meeting, bro.
Yeah, pretty much. But there was one person that's appointed. He got to appoint a person for every little ish major category of how he wanted them to handle certain things. That's really what the Warren Commission did. Yes, correct. So it's a good analogy. So,
that's also a pretty brilliant way for him to compartmentalize the information so all the people don't put it together and get the whole story.
Well, that too. But most of those people are already on the end, so they didn't. But yes, anyone underneath them, yes, you're right. Those people. Like, one of the people, like, Joseph Farrell wrote a really good book about this. I like his books a lot, but I can't remember. But John J. McCloy, one of the guys that got, I think, appointed to the Warren Commission. Later, he ends up being our ambassador to, I think, Germany. And he was instrumental in bringing some of the Nazis back into Germany to rule Germany when Germany was reunified, I think. And it just, there's some craziness there. But, you know, people won't even believe you when you – and I might be getting that story a little bit screwy, not quite accurate. I forget all the dirty details. But, yeah. I don't know. I lost my train of thought, Brian. After
9/11, I want to talk about some of the events you looked at.
Chemtrails, vaccines.
Sandy Hook?
I did look into Sandy Hook a little bit more than I did any of the other kind of hoax shootings, but I was pretty convinced that most of these were. And I think what did it for – there was so much research out there in Sandy Hook. And one of the greatest was someone took a picture – like, when CNN did their thing, I guess CNN forgot and just kept the camera on the school, it looked like. And someone filmed that and pointed out and stopped it. And then that you just had, like, workers walking around, like, in circles.
Yeah, they were doing circles, yeah.
And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, they made it that obvious, but no one, like, everyone just pops on CNN. Like, no one actually watched CNN, like, for 5 minutes and realized this paramedic guy, all he did was walk around the ambulance, like, 15 times in, like, you know, 15 minutes. and made it look like he was doing something as he's walking around, but he didn't. That's what everyone's doing. You know, this whole... And I was like, nah, this can't be. Really?
No.
So then I looked in, and the whole town was apparently bought like by a production company, like a movie production or something like that. But what really sold it for me was, and there's all these different evidence.
Robbie Parker?
No, actually, not the Robbie Parker, though. He's the guy that laughed about his kid dying, right? More or less.
Yeah, and he was live tweeting during the event, contradicting himself. And they started, it was crazy. Yeah, but no, what was it for you with Sandy Hook?
It was the Newtown Bee. The paper, the local paper is called the Newtown Bee. And somebody actually had the balls enough for that local paper to write an article saying that there is like an emergency town hall meeting. I think I told you about this, where they, meaning Sandy Hook / Newtown, had this emergency town hall meeting where they were going to make it so that anyone who died that day, supposedly, their death records would be sealed. So no one could have public access to this. Which isn't normal. Like, when someone dies, it's public record, whatever.
Oh,
but the
I
town
know.
Was going to have this emergency meeting to seal the death records. Mm-hmm. Like, literally the day after freaking Sandy Hook happened, they're doing this. Or 2 days after.
The day after.
Why are they sealing the death records?
The day after they're sealing death records and the day before they're starting fucking fundraisers. Literally.
Right. So, right. And then you got the screenshots, right, on Facebook. Literally, people took the screenshots where they have fundraiser, GoFundMe pages.
I got some myself. Yeah.
So how can you... How could
Victoria
you know that beforehand,
Soto.
And then how come now you're all of a sudden you're shutting down any credible research?
Dude, the principal, Victoria Soto, they started a fundraiser page for her 2 days before they opened up the page. Like, they didn't make it public, but the domain was set up. You know what I mean? Same thing with United
this is the same
Way
thing with
for 9/11 Sandy Hook.
That you and I have talked about a million times. With the SSDI, right? Social Security Death
same
Index
thing.
With 9/11.
It's the same thing.
There's
the
like no one that shows up. Barely,
same thing.
Right?
Yeah. Same thing. Well, over 2,500.
And no one really collected the death benefits the government did for 9/11. So it's a similar situation.
Out of 3,000, 59 families collected their free $2 million. Think about that. Who's going to leave that money on the table? It's a joke.
No one.
Nobody.
No one.
Nobody. Out of 2,996 families, 2,996 families would be down there the next day.
Who's not going to turn in a lottery ticket? Come on. It's
especially,
like they gave you the lottery ticket. You didn't have to buy it. They gave it to you. Who wouldn't turn it in?
Especially after you supposedly lose your loved one that's probably the breadwinner in your family that died in the towers. You lose that income. Your whole license is up in the air. You know, all types of things could be going on, all the stress and everything. And, of course, it's not going to bring your loved one back, but you're going to take the free $2 million from the government. Everybody's going to take it. I don't want to hear that shit.
Of course. Right, they are, of course. But, there was no one there to do it. And, you know... What was the other one, the Trayvon Martin one I looked into for a little bit? What was that case called?
Yeah, the Trayvon Martin one with the hands up one. Is that the one?
I think with Gonzalez or whatever, and she shot Trayvon Martin or something and all that.
But then
we find out that, remember, you looked it up for me, I think, that Trayvon Martin never showed up on the SSDI.
Yeah.
So how did this guy Gonzalez even kill him? Then there's some fishiness. You know, Trayvon Martin's father was big time into the Masons. Da, da, da. And then the Gonzalez's father is a magistrate for the Commonwealth of the State of Virginia. And magistrates are a little bit different than judges in Virginia. They have a little bit more power. But that's the other thing I got into that we should probably talk about. And it's one thing that really I wanted to bring up that I forgot earlier, but it's the law. I got into law. Law is not what people think it is at all.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Why don't you give
so should I go down that road? Because that was another big thing eventually. I don't know where this whole crazy, you know,
topics about it. We'll talk about law for 5 or 10 minutes. 5 minutes, because then we gotta keep going.
Okay, I started getting into a lot of Visigoth's work. I can't remember his real name, but if you type into YouTube, it's still out there. And he used to have a website called thinkerbeeaten.com. And, what is Visigoth's real name? In any event, he interviewed a guy named The Informer from North Carolina who did not want to give his name, so he went by The Informer. But I can understand why. Once you listen to his interviews. And another guy who did give his name was from Virginia, I believe, named James Montgomery. And their whole argument was that we are still a British colony. And it sounds nutty. But when you really understand law... We are still. This is why there's again the city-state of London and the Vatican, but it would take hours to really get through this and explain it. But we are technically a corporation, meaning the United States is not a country, it's a corporation.
And so are you.
All the caps and all that stuff. And any law is really admiralty law. It's business law. Anyway.
Yeah.
So and when you open your eyes to that, this is why you know the truth or movement has been co-opted. Because you can't tell me once you've been in it for so long, and I can see still there's some people that don't know this stuff. But once you've been in it so long and you've been on the legal end or the economic end or the politician end, you eventually will come across this. You kind of have to, by default, entertain this argument. And, you know, after a while, you can't dismiss it. It keeps smacking you in the head that law is not what it seems to be. Because all law is really admiralty law, and no one technically can own anything. I know that sounds crazy too. Because really, the city state.
No, it doesn't.
Because
you have to register your car with them. You have to pay property tax. They'll come take that shit.
Correct. Because you don't technically own it. Correct. No. Correct.
They'll come take that shit, and if you don't pay your taxes, they'll come take anything they want. So that taxes is
the only way legally they could do that is if you somehow did legally own the property, but you can't legally own property. You're technically like renting the property indefinitely. That's kind of how it's looked at as by law when you buy a house.
Yeah.
You're transferring like the deed really kind of, but you're not really transferring the ownership. It's like the right to actually to buy it temporarily. Like, because they could pull it on any time. You're right. Because if why then could they charge you taxes on it if you truly owned it? You're right.
Yeah, totally. Totally. All right. Well, we got about a little under 20 minutes left. I'm going to try to keep them to an hour. So there's we'll if I miss anything, we'll you can bring it back up. But there's two topics I want to ask you about.
Ask your opinion. There's something I probably forgot too. There's a bunch of other trails along the way. You know, we all go down different. Oh, I looked into a little bit of the MK mind control stuff.
Oh yeah. Nice.
And mainly the connection with – we did a little bit of stuff on Paul McCartney and all that. But a great book that really influenced me was Dave McGowan's book, Weird Scenes in Laurel Canyon.
Yeah.
And that book unequivocally shows you a lot of the connections between the Beach Boys, the Mamas and Papas, the Doors, Zappa, and that whole Laurel Canyon L.A. crew, and how all their families basically have military intelligence connections. Yet all of those artists – also, we're connected to Charlie Manson.
It's crazy.
Which
stuff,
people are like,
right?
What? You're kidding me. I'm like, no. Like, you got to read the book. Like, he lived with them. He lived with Jack Nicholson, too. But Jack Nicholson was part of the Laurel Canyon Actors part, too. That's why they had that weird studio that got shut down in Laurel Canyon. I can't remember. Dreamland or whatever. Wonderland. I can't remember the name. I think it's Wonderland, maybe. And all that. So it's, yeah. There's a lot of, like, I started digging into a little bit of that. And, of course, like everyone else, I dug into a little bit of the moon landing and NASA.
I was
going to
ask your opinion on that. So what is your opinion on Apollo program and NASA?
I almost hate answering this because I got in trouble for answering this. But, I mean, I have to at this point. Meaning, you know, I had a student approach me about this and I tried to dodge it. But then apparently he even said what I didn't say because I thought I dodged it on purpose because I didn't want to get myself in trouble. Then a student lied about what I said. So what it, in any event, but you know, I mean, if hold on, let me, here's my opinion on this is Worcestershire sauce, right? Can you see that?
Yeah.
You and I can get to you and I can get to the moon better on this thing. You and I could fly better on this than what they used in the late 60s. Okay? Like, we could literally probably fly better on this.
Now, after looking into 9/11 fakery and everything, isn't looking at Apollo... Right,
I'm being a smart ass, obviously, but, you know, you can't tell... Like, Dave McGowan's work was called Wagging the Moon Dog. He had great stuff on there, too, not just about Laurel Canyon, but that got me. But then you also, and then Justin and I would talk about some things a lot. And James even a little bit about the moon. And, you know, you keep looking at these things and these pictures that NASA puts out now, they're just so far-fetched, you know. And it's like NASA, at one point I was like, well, wait a second. Maybe I'm not looking at this the right way. But then, you know, I was like, well, there's the whole Van Allen belt thing. So let me see what NASA actually says. Because no one's actually asking NASA, right? So I remember I should have screenshot it because somebody said they pulled the article, but maybe they did. But I remember years back, we're talking maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, I pulled, went on the NASA's website, their site in their search engine, and put in Van Allen Belt and pulled up a bunch of articles. And one of their leading scientists in 2010, I remember the date of the article, he made this whole argument how we can't get through the Van Allen Belt. We lost that technology, blah, 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 blah. And I went, whoa, 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 wait a sec. You got to be – so back in the 60s, we could get through the Van Allen Belt, but we lost the technology, and now we can't do it. So that's why we haven't gone back. This is what you're literally saying in this argument. I'm like, come on, really? 50 years later with better technology, computers and all that. But we did. But, you know, if I talk about this, Brian, in a public forum, I'm crazy.
I know. Trust me, if anybody knows, I know. I'm wicked crazy. Important to everybody.
You know, and you question the story, you know, people have been propagandized, so you question the story at all. You know, you're nuts, you know, you're crazy, you get ostracized at your job, you get ostracized by your family even. That's what's hard to swallow even more so sometimes is your family.
Oh, I can't even, you don't even know. My own father doesn't talk to me because of Sandy Hook. So you told me to lose his number.
I've been lucky. I think my parents write me off on certain things. I go, whatever, he's nuts, and just kind of ignore it. But mm-hmm. some things, they actually come around a little bit. I'll
like
say
what?
This. Like
JFK?
No, because it's JFK is still a really hard pill for them to swallow. Because they're early, they're World War II babies. They're, you know, so they're very early baby boomers, if you will, right?
Yeah.
So JFK is a really hard pill for them to swallow because people were so indoctrinated about how things went down. Even though I bring certain things up and question, they're like, they look at me like, wow, he's kind of right. Maybe it's there. But no, it's chemtrails, believe it or not.
Really?
Because see, you can see that. And I said to my father, who's a chemist, I said, just dad, do me a favor. Just, I know you and mom think I'm nuts, but just every time you're outside, they have this wonderful deck, right? Right off their patio sunroom that they go out and sit out on a lot. You know, it's this nice little deck because they grill their food there, blah, blah, whatever. So every time you're outside, which is about every day, you go outside because he has a little garden thing there off of it. So just look up in the sky. I guarantee you'll see these lines every day. That's right. And I'm telling you, you live close to the airport, but, you know, not every day are they going to spray this and not every day they come in and spray. And, you know, so just, and then you tell me what you think. And I remember one time we were talking on the phone and I said something about it. He said, you know, your mother and I looked up today and we couldn't believe how many lines they sprayed. There's something going on with that. I think you might be right on something. But they wouldn't admit this or whatever, but they admit now, I think, that there's something to it. Mm-hmm. So, but you know what? I think that's all I'm going to get out of 7-year-olds. You know what I'm saying? You got to pick your battles sometimes, too. Meaning they don't, and I kind of understand, like, their point is, like, we're just rich. We got, like, 10 more years. We don't want to. You know, what are we going to do about it? We got 10 more years, like whatever. Like we don't care anymore at this point. You know, we're in our mid 70s. We'll be lucky we live 10 more years. I mean, I hope they live more than that, but so I get it. I understand, you know,
yeah.
But at least they're coming around on that a little bit. Anyway, go ahead. You wanted to ask me a couple other things. So,
yeah. So for anybody that might've joined late and didn't hear that you're a teacher, you teach social studies and whatnot in high school. You know, you've got reprimanded for using the word Zionism and whatnot. I'm assuming that probably has created a fair amount of stress for you at work.
A lot of stress. I got reprimanded before for also, I would say it this way, at questioning any of the statistics from the Holocaust.
Oh, of course. Of course you can't bring that up.
I got reprimanded for that too.
What did you say? What did you say? Did you?
I didn't believe it myself at one point because I remember there was another teacher I taught with, and I don't want to say her name, of course, but she brought it up at one point. And I'm not trying to pass the. This is before I woke up or whatever. And this is where I knew something too. Now that I come to think of it, there's something fishy a little bit. But or I'll say it this way: like she pushed forward some articles that, well, look, Rich. Here I got articles from the old Baltimore Sun. You know, in the 40s and 50s, saying that the Nazis were funded by American money too. And I went,
yeah.
What? Why were we? Nah. And then you go back and you read and what IBM and you know yeah. Ford and these other American companies, what and General Electric, we funded the Nazis. Like, So wait a second. I thought we were fighting them. I thought everyone was patriotic. No, they don't care about that. They care about this, right? So that kind of. And then she said, look, check out the statistics. I said, well, what do you mean check out the statistics? She said, check out the statistics. They don't jive. I said, well, what do you mean they didn't jive? She said, look at the Red Cross statistics, what they report and what. And I did. And the numbers they give don't you don't really jive.
No, not at all. Not at all.
The numbers are much lower than what were reported. I'll leave it at that. And people know the magic figures that are out there. And then the numbers were always much lower, reported by the Red Cross. So that kind of, you know, but if you bring this up again, you know, and then I said to myself, you know, here's another person. I need to mention this person for people who hopefully watch this interview. You know, they give some shout outs. They're like, Visigoth's work is great. And then Crow, you know, you kind of got me on the Crow's work, I think. Crow 777.
Yeah.
You know, I like Greg Carlwood too, if I'm saying that right, the higher side chat. But there's a really old, should be labeled conspiracy theorist. There's a really old conspiracy theorist, if you will, but you know, none of us really like that name. Alternative historian named Mae Brussel. You've heard her. I think Justin, I think, listened to her more. I listened to the crap out of Mae Brussel. M-A-E Brussel, B-R-U-S-S-E-L-L, I think. I don't know if you've really listened to her work, have you?
No, I haven't. I've heard the name. You're not familiar with it?
The amazing thing is she kind of came on into it through me. Like, she was a housewife and then came into like this whole thing from the 70s and 80s. In the 70s and 80s, and then she started doing a public access show. And then she started talking about all this stuff. Now, she was very like Nazi, okay, that we were infiltrated by Nazis. And I used to think she was totally nuts. But when you really dig down that road, there is this huge Nazi faction, obviously, that was absorbed into American culture via the CIA, the government, whatever, you know, Operation Paperclip and so forth. NASA, right? Werner von Braun.
Isn't it funny how every time one of us says NASA, we just start laughing? NASA.
Right. Why is this NASA? It's just like magic. Poof, you can do whatever you want. You can say we do whatever we want. Just go.
Yeah, we're spinning 1,000 miles an hour, and the sun's 93 million miles away. What do you got?
I went to Bic Planet today because it's so. See, I went to Bic. That's where I went.
Guy, if you angle the camera you can make that.
Let me get back to the Mae Brussel thing. Like, let me at least finish this point because I'm losing my train of thought, too. Like, how did I come there? I listen to her stuff out the butt. I would just type in Mae Brussel and listen to her. Because what I like was she lived during the 70s and 80s. You follow? So she's reading you articles from then from people. And remember, there's still articles, like legit articles in the 70s and 80s that were slipped into the New York Times and San Jose Mercury News or the Tampa Bay, whatever you follow, that were slipped in, but they just not front page. And people would send her all these things, and she'd do a show once a week and talk about them. And she brought up Simon Wiesenthal, right? And Simon Wiesenthal was the guy who, after World War II, went after the Nazis, you know, supposedly, and started the Simon Wiesenthal Center for, you know, Holocaust and all this, the Holocaust Museum. And she talked. She did episodes about how he worked for. Guess who? Who do you think? Who do you think he worked for? According to her,
I'm not sure who.
Simon Wiesenthal, supposedly the guy who set up the Holocaust Museum and all this. He said he was a Holocaust survivor. Well, she unequivocally proved that he worked for OSS. Well, who's OSS? Right, military end that was the other half of Naval Intelligence and OSS that became what? The CIA. So he basically worked for the CIA before there was a CIA.
That's crazy.
And then you look into Simon Wiesenthal's background and you start realizing there's all these discrepancies, right? But then you look into his numbers and the numbers he reports and the things that he reports. When you look at the museum themselves has changed things. But see, if you talk about the museum. Yes, I have. I looked into it. The museum reported X number, and then years later they had people complain about it, and they backed off on it and said that it was this number, a lower number. And then they even backed off to another lower number. And as far as I understand, they finally pulled a number in general. But again, when you go down the whole Mae Brussel, who is Simon Wiesenthal, you realize there are these – big money connections. There's these OSS, if you will, pre-CIA connections. You realize that Simon Wiesenthal has these Zionist connections, of course. And here we go. We're back full circle. Same Usual Suspects kind of tied in, et cetera, et cetera. So Mae Brussels, actually, that's another person that really, you know, I got a lot of good information out of her work. And she had some good information, quite frankly, on the moon.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because she talked, yep, even back then in the 70s and 80s, she talked on a radio show. She talked about there is JPL, right? There's NASA, and then there's the little division out west called JPL, Jet Propulsion Lab. And that was run by, who was the guy who did JPL?
Jack Parsons. Jack Parsons.
Jack Parsons. There you go. Correct. And he was good friends with guess who? Tom Cruise's buddy. I'm joking, but Tom Cruise's buddy.
Yeah. No, I guess.
L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons were.
Yeah.
Right. But see, here, this is what you start learning. Like, all these people, there's these connections. You're like, nah. But yeah, and then, of course, Jack Parsons was Hubbard,
huge right, into the occult.
Guess who they're connected to? They're connected to NASA.
NASA films the spacewalks in the underground, in the in-ground pool at JPL.
Right, right. And plus then you're talking, well, who are they connected? They're connected to Wernher von Braun, SS Lieutenant Colonel, who started NASA, and who's his best friend? Club 33, Walt Disney.
Oh, yeah. Disney and NASA are like this, dude.
So here's the other thing. It's like, what do we have? Why do we have this goofy Scientologist? Pardon Scientology people out there if you are. Sorry. But it is a goofy thing. I'm sorry.
Hey, it is what
now,
it
this
is.
This goofy Scientologist, Jack Parsons, right? And you got this goofy Nazi, and you got this goofy cartoon guy telling us what's going on out there.
Yeah. Oh, not only that. Let's take it one step farther. So I have a picture that a lot of other people.
I'm supposed to believe
have.
Them, but you know what? If I question them, I'm what?
Hey.
I'm crazy, right?
Let's take it one step farther with the connection and a little circle jerk there. There's a picture I have that has it's Disney officials meeting with Von Braun, meeting with another NASA official, meeting with, I think, a vice president was there, and Arthur C. Clarke was also there. And Stanley Kubrick.
Oh, there you go.
And Arthur C. Clarke is the guy who's a science fiction writer. That he's the guy that invented satellites in his mind. And then 10 years later, NASA's supposedly putting them in space.
Right.
You got Kubrick,
Arthur C. Clarke.
So this is fiction.
Like this,
so Kubrick, right? Clarke, and Disney specialize in fiction. Why are they meeting with NASA?
And supposedly Kubrick, right, and supposedly Kubrick and Clarke were really good friends because Kubrick, remember, moved to Britain. He lived in Britain. He was good buddies with him from living in Britain and whatever. And Clarke wrote what, Brian? You going to help me with this? He wrote the book 2001, Space Odyssey, correct?
I'm not sure, but I know he, in the 1940s, he came up with the idea of satellites above the Earth, and he wrote them in a science fiction book, and then a decade later, NASA was, you know, constructing them and shit.
Right, but I think he also wrote, like, remember Kubrick's movie, Space Odyssey?
Yeah,
I think he wrote the book.
I'm not sure exactly what big works he was on. I just know the content that was in it.
Who was the guy who wrote Fahrenheit 451?
I don't know, but I watched that a couple weeks ago. There's a remake of it. I guess there was an old one. I hadn't seen it. There's a new one, and it's really good, man. I had never seen the old one.
You told me it was, and I downloaded it. I still need to watch it.
You got to watch it. It's really good,
there's
man.
There's a lot of stuff in it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a pretty good movie. For people like us, you really appreciate that.
When I just will say this, too. Like, and here is the other thing. I started thinking, right, like, you know, I know we're almost at an hour or whatever, but so I want to get this in. Like, I started thinking, well, wait a second again. Like, how can they all be, these things be connected? But if you drive down the road, you just start looking at signs. You know, there's always what? A pyramid. Or there's always a sun. You know, Sunoco Gas, there's a sun. Sunkist, there's a sun. Right? Sitco Gas, there's a pyramid. BP, what is it? It's the sun for BP. You know? Why are there all these same symbols over and over? You mean these people are not that original? They can't come up with something other than a pyramid or a sun? Or you know, or a swastika in their freaking, like, what? Come on. No, there's a reason these things are shoved down our throats. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's another thing. You start seeing them more and more as you wake up. You realize, and Disney made me think of that, because I stopped watching Disney films. Like, don't watch the film from the beginning, you know. Don't watch the foreground. Watch the background.
Yeah, because that's where all the subliminal programming is going on. Like, you'll see Mickey holding a dildo. You'll see the sign at the doctor's office. I think it was Dawn. I forget which character. They're at the doctor's office, and the little eye chart that you're supposed to read for your vision, it says, ask about Illuminati. You know, it's all spread out because the letters are stacked, but they're all in a row. Ask about Illuminati.
Yeah, like the smoke will smell sex and all kinds of crazy stuff. Absolutely.
Oh, and the cloud on the Earth pictures. Rob Simmons' Photoshop pictures of the Earth, he wrote sex in the clouds with the Photoshop tool. I mean, come on, man. And that's insulting. Now, you know NASA's a joke. We've been laughing about it. What do you think about their pictures of the Earth and their whole heliocentric story? It's pretty much out the window now at this point, isn't it? Even if you don't believe the Earth is whatever you want to say it is, you know, stationary, flat, any words you want to use. What NASA's been saying about us being a spinning globe, whirling around the sun and dashing through the galaxy and the universe and people living upside down, I mean, what do you think about all that?
It's hard to believe in their official story when NASA stuff is so obviously, a lot of it's obviously faked, if not all of it.
All of it. Remember, I was trying to tell you this several months ago when I first started bringing the flat Earth stuff to you.
I did. It took me a while. But you know what really... Yeah, you know, it's you know, there's all kinds of things, but the North and South Pole, obviously, we've talked about that. Like, no one can go there, no one can fly over it. There's all kinds of weird stuff. The flight patterns just disappear from trying to fly from what, South America to like Africa or whatnot.
How about all the ISS footage is as bad as all the Flight 175 hitting the South Tower?
Yeah,
footage.
Right. Like the ketchup bottle does this. And falls over with normal gravity, but yet, you know, nothing else, everything else is like floating. But yet, they forgot that the ketchup bottle, they forgot that they knocked it over, and they still kept it in the video. No, I don't know if you saw that one, but that was like one of the ISS things.
I've seen all the ISS ones. I spent a lot of time on I started with the ISS before I got into questioning the shape of the Earth or that. I went to the 9/11 road that you know I went through, and then I went into Apollo, which didn't set me off of 9/11. I stayed on 9/11, but Apollo was just a weekend thing, you know? That was 2012. Right. Then I started looking into satellites and the ISS in 2013. And then 2014, I kind of, you know, put everything together when I started seeing the flight routes and everything, you know? But, you know, you don't, even if we can't, you know, you don't have an opinion on what's down here or whatever, at least you got to know, and I try and tell people this in all different communities, you shouldn't like being lied to. And you should want to know why people are going through such great efforts to lie to you.
And you know, that's the other thing that's crazy is, all right, who cares if I'm right or wrong? But, you know, but you shouldn't get persecuted, basically, or ostracized for questioning.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Don't they tell us, like, when we're little kids, like, seriously, like, oh, good question. You should always question things. That's how you can become a critical thinker, right? That's how you expand and learn it. But when we become adults, it's not the case anymore, is it? When you start to question, that's bad.
It's very frowned upon.
When you don't go along the same, right, typical path, it's not a good thing.
It's very frowned upon.
So, nope, you're supposed to just accept it. That's how it works. Move on.
All right, so... We're going to have to wrap up.
One more thing, real quick. Because, you know, there's a buddy of mine I've been trying to bring over a little bit, you know, and I think he's almost there. But one of the things he said to me was, well, Rich, you know, I kind of see where your point is. I see this, I see that. But I still can't buy the fact that you're going to tell me, right, that all these people are getting together, right, and that all these people have gotten together and can do this. Like, I work with too many people that can't even get their act together, like, you know, for a meeting, in other words, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And in other words, we can't even agree on the same time for a meeting. Or he's a programmer, so they can't even agree on how they're going to do XYZ with this program. So he's like, we can't even get 20 people to agree on, you know, how we're going to build this new program. So how do they get – and I said – it's easy. It's compartmentalization. He's like, I still don't buy that. Like, da, 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 whatever. But people, and I can still understand that. But you know what? I can't remember what show it was. And I'd like to give it credit. I'd like to give some show. Maybe it was Crow. Maybe it was Greg Carwood stuff. I don't remember because I've been listening to a lot of things, that stuff lately. But so it wasn't from me. But someone brought up a good analogy. Maybe it was Mike Williams from the Fall stuff. But that guy from the Sage Equation. I can't remember. So whoever it is. But they brought up a good analogy, somebody. So I'm stealing from somebody. So whoever, I apologize. But it's like, all right, you buy stocks in a company, but I think people can understand this. So I think this, and you'd say, yeah, okay, I buy stocks in a company. Okay, do you know everything that company is doing when you buy a stock? No, I don't really care. Well, okay, well, even if you do look into that company because you want to buy, like, you know, stock in, say, an ethical company, right? Wouldn't you look into them a little bit? Okay, yeah, let's say you do, blah, blah, blah. But you still don't know all the decisions that they're making, do you? No. And see, here's where it gets. Here's where I think people start to understand. You're not technically on the board of directors, are you? No, I just own some stocks in that company, right? You don't go to any of the meetings, do you? No. You don't know what really the chairman of the board and the top CEO are talking about behind closed doors, do you? Exactly. No, I don't. I don't really care. I just bought stock. I just want to make money. Okay, well, but this is how it works. So now when you tell people this way, I think they get a little bit more because almost everyone's invested a little bit, right? Whether it's a private company or a big company like Apple or Google or something or whatever, IBM, if they're older, something, you know, I'm not a computer company, whatever, but, you know, JP Morgan, whatever, they put money in. But I think they can get that analogy. It's like, and everyone's worked, I think, for a little part of a department. So that's hard to see. But again, if you think about that, right, you're not invited to the big meetings. You're not invited to the chairman of the board meetings, and are you? No, and you may even have some power within this little, to a certain level. But you don't really know what they're talking about, do you? No. So then they could be talking to other people, too, and certainly, like, coordinating things, couldn't they? But you would know, would you? No. You just care about the money. And this is how I think, again, at the top, there's a plan. But this is where people can say, well, no, it can never be coordinated. They don't care really what happens down here. It's this ultimate goal up here. So if there's good and bad, whatever, it's the end result they're going for. So how it actually, that end result comes about, it doesn't really matter. No. It's up here.
It's just like with the 9/11 truth movement. They don't care what conspiracy you believe as long as it doesn't implicate the media and as long as you think 3,000 people died.
Correct.
It's the same shit.
And if you think about it, they're telling you their own philosophy because they always tell you, like, well, right? Machiavelli, he's always put forward, right? Mm-hmm. In pop culture and even ancient culture, Renaissance character Machiavelli. But it's very Machiavellian. Right, because the whole Machiavellian thing is...
Well, we just did that Tupac and Biggie show and Paul McCartney. And that's Tupac's nickname.
Right, Machiavelli. Yeah. But it's all about the ends justify the means, isn't it? Meaning, doesn't matter what we do up here, no. As long as we get what? The results down here.
Yeah, the result, the fear so that you're pushing.
Lies,
steal, the agenda.
Compartmentalize, you know. But we're going to still meet up here, and you don't even know. And you don't even know why you're investing in our company. You don't care. You just want the big picture.
They have the big picture. You just have a little snippet here. I have a little snippet here. And if we're not even communicating to share information, then how the fuck are we going to ever put the picture together?
You're not.
That's why I like with these interviews. I want to reach out to everybody and just...
Right. Unless you come by it by mistake a little bit. And that's kind of how I came by, getting back to, like, you know, I realized there were some things that through my career and stuff that were kind of rigged. And then, like, the Federal Reserve, see? And then going down the money path, being an economist and da-da-da, and studying that in college, and that being my degree, you know. And then I went, wait a second. How come all these families who bought the Federal Reserve, first of all, I didn't know you could do that. How come they also own basically a lot of the oil and a lot of the banks and a lot of the big pharmaceutical companies and – meaning all the – and they have monopolies in all these major corporation areas. Like, what? Wait a second. How come I keep seeing all these same family names over and over again? And, you know, anyway. Yeah.
All right. I want to – we're over an hour, but I do want to ask you about one more topic before we close it out.
Okay. Yeah.
How about the stuff I have been showing you for the last several months about the Mandela Effect? What do you think about it?
Oh my god! I used to think you were nuts, but I know you're not.
You used to think I was nuts for a lot of things, didn't you?
Every time I think you're nuts on something, it comes back and bites me. So I don't even like you know this like pretty much because we've known each other for a while. So it's and not that you're nuts, you know what I'm saying? But like, no way, get out of here, right? Get out of here, like you know. And then like Mandela, I'm like, no way. But then like what? But then I look myself and I'm like, Ralph Macchio has a blue freaking headband. You gotta be effing kidding me.
It's ridiculous. He had the rising sun, dude. We all know it.
But then it's there. And then, like, the C-3PO thing, you got to be freaking kidding me, but then it's there with a silver leg. I still haven't verified some things, but I'm sure that – but, yeah, you start with – and then we laughed in the last show about the Marty McFly freaking ukulele. I mean, over and over again, it's, like, ridiculous.
Blows the amp with the little miniature ukulele
the
guitar.
Little mini guitar, right? Yeah, I mean – You
it's
know,
so ridiculous.
I just, it's, What was it, John Lennon? He was wearing the white, and then
now he's
like,
got the black in the Imagine video.
Something. And even I could see black. Maybe I got it wrong. But doesn't the black have these little designs in it too? There's that. Yeah. There was no cheesy designs.
No.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but there's definitely Berenstain versus Berenstain Bears. I remember it the old way.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the old way is, I can't. But you know, it was. You know, I remember. Smokey the Bear, not Smokey.
Yeah,
Bear.
There dude, was no Smokey definitely Bear. Smokey the Bear, man. I hate when people act like, you know, everybody knows. That's why I get mad. That's why I say it affects everybody, because everybody knows.
I remember
it's Smokey
sitting
the Bear.
In my mom's Plymouth Volare here. I'm telling you how old I am. Plymouth Volare station wagon and hearing Smokey the Bear ads. Google Plymouth Volare out there. See what a great station wagon looking car that is. Right, but it was from the 70s. So, you know, but remember Smokey the Bear ads coming on the radio. Not Smokey Bear, Smokey the Bear. So you can't, again, tell me that. But what is it? I do not know. And this is, but there's something goofy with this thing going on. I tend to think it's a bit of a couple things, you know, mixed together. I don't think that they could.
But the
some of it, I think that the powers that be are actually doing themselves. But some of them, I don't think they can do. Like,
they can't sneak in my house and update my movies and my CDs and
that's
switch
what
things
I'm
out
saying.
Of me.
That's what
and
I'm
they
saying.
Have. You know, my Star Wars movies have changed. My Superman.
No, right, exactly.
So
you've
seen all the music changes. Aren't those
right, this is why it's so
ones.
Bizarre. Because they can't come in and physically change your things. But yeah, I think there's things online maybe that they did change. Do you see what I'm saying? So, but it's hard to sift through that too. Is it really Mandela, or is it something that they did? You follow? So it's, and I think they know this too. So they might be playing off of that a little bit too. But there's certain things, like you said, you can't just come into someone's house and change their physical copies of Star Wars or Back to the Future or Wizard of Oz or whatever.
No, exactly. So you know, we might not know what's going on.
Look, we talked about it, and I swear to God, I think this has been Mandela. But I was like, you know, you and I talked about this, and maybe I'm wrong on this one, but I just paid my property taxes for the half year, and I could have swore that they were due, like, beginning of the year or something, and not July, and the dates are different now.
And they tell you it's never been different, though.
They told me it's never been different, ever, for 20 years.
So, although we might not know what's going on, you know, what's causing this, it's clear something's going on. Because when you have things like lyrics and songs changing and you know where they were the other way, right? And then, you know, they're changed, but people, you know, people try and say, oh, it's bad memory. Well, not when we all misremember, allegedly, the same thing, replace it with the same words. And then you have residue where the bands that actually wrote and performed the songs will do one or two live rare performances where they actually say what we remember. It's like, okay,
yes.
Come on. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We're not crazy. Yeah. Something's happening. We can't explain what it is. You want to think it's God. You want to think it's Satan. You want to think it's CERN. You want to think it's D-Wave computers. You want to think it's collective consciousness like I do. You want to think whatever you want to think, but something's happening. But, you know, we got to keep it rolling because we got to wrap this up because I'm trying to keep these to an hour. We're at an hour and 15 now.
We're already over budget, but one big music Mandela that I totally agree with you, and I know we agree on a lot of them, is to me, unequivocally, is the Queen. The Queen, we are the world, or you know, the Queen. What does he say? We are the champions. Sorry, we are the champions of the world. And he definitely says of the world. I mean, why does everyone sing it that way? Come on, everyone sing when
everyone.
People win a championship, they sing it and they sing it that way.
Yeah, and I tried to show one of my buddies that, and he literally told me because I showed him the residue of them doing it live at Wembley in 1985, right? And he's like, "Oh no, they never had it on their album. You just remember this version." I said, "Bro, in 1985." I didn't even have internet, never mind YouTube, and I never been to Wembley. I didn't memorize the Wembley version. I memorized the version that's always on the radio, that's at every parade, that all my uncles had, that I'd always heard in the bar. I didn't hear no fucking Wembley version, bro. I heard the same radio version over and over and over and over and over again.
And it's a great point, because back in 1985, I would have been like 15, and, you know, there's no way. Look, the only place you would have heard that is going into literally like an old school record store and buying the live, and you could, but buying the live Wembley album, right? Queen, whatever, live at Wembley, da da da. And that would have cost you like $25, $30, which was a lot of money back then just for the album. So, you know, it's not like people had ready access to it. You're right. Like, you couldn't just Google it on YouTube and get it. Or your buddy down the street had the live album all of a sudden. No. Most likely he did.
I didn't know anybody that had it, dude. It's ridiculous to think that. You know, it really is. But, okay. And, you know, I know I want to wrap it up. It sucks because I would like to go just hours and hours with you. But I think keeping these short is what's key to the list because people can just click, go through the videos quick. They see something short, they're more apt to click on it. So we'll keep it going. And you just did. Anybody that doesn't know, if you guys like RD stuff today, and I'm sure you guys did, I got some positive feedback in the chat. The last two shows I did, he was on with me. We did a show the other day, me, RD, and Paul Knight. Some of the big topics were the lunar eclipse, what it is and what it isn't, flight routes, some new Mandela effects, the frozen plains phenomenon that I'm trying to figure out what the hell is going on. We talked about that. And the show a week ago, we did the whole thing into the whole Tupac and Biggie conspiracies, Paul McCartney possibly being switched, and we talked about some other things on the show. So be sure to check those out. But before we go, RD, why did you decide to do this interview?
That's a great question. You know, part of me didn't because I always get in trouble when I open my big mouth at work, right? Mm-hmm. It's like they either threaten to suspend me or whatever. So, but it's, you know, I felt like I had to have some peace with myself too. You know, I had to get out there and tell my story a little bit. And I'll be honest, I'm kind of honored that you asked me to do that. You didn't have to ask me to do this. I know we're buddies too personally and all that, and we've done a lot of research and we agree on a lot of things, but still, you didn't have to ask me to do it. So I'm kind of honored to do it. And you know, and you didn't bring it up, but I'll bring it up. You know, I had some health problems lately. I had a stroke.
Now, what do you think set that off? What do you
and
think?
And a lot of having a stroke is, I mean, I was a chain smoker for years, so that was part of it. But a big part of it is stress. So knowing, you know, and stress from my job and family and other things. You know, but I was so stressed, chain smoking, and eating terrible. Well, I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. But I feel like, let me say it this way: when I talk about this stuff, it's almost like therapy. I can get it off my chest.
That's why I'm trying to do this almost every day now. Yeah, I need to talk to you guys.
I mean,
man.
Right? You know, you can't just walk into Starbucks and start talking about this shit to people. They think you're insane. You know, but I bet you there's, I would say probably a bigger population than we think. If you walked into Starbucks and people really like just or whatever random place you wanted them to say Starbucks, the coffee shop, you know, I would guess that there's probably more people that you think that would probably want to chime in the conversation, but they're afraid to. Because I think more and more people are kind of waking up and are a little more.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's a little more, there's more, what's the word? Anonymity, meaning being right. There's more of this. I can on the internet, so you're not.
But then you can choose when you want to integrate your face into it, like we did with the video here. Now, the reason I do these videos is because I think quickly, I used to, you know, I've been doing radio since 2010. If you guys are watching this and you just came across it, my site's therealnewsonline.com. But we're doing these live videos on YouTube. So my channel, obviously, if you have this video, you know how to get to my channel. But if somebody mirrors it or whatever, I'll put it in the show description. But it's Brian S. Stavely. Username Brian S. Stavely on YouTube. The thing with the camera, with the YouTube, though, the ID real quick, is I think the camera thing for these type of interviews where you're getting people's personal story, they really capture the emotion really well. So I think it's really important. That's why I kept asking, you can come on camera, though. You can come on camera. The first couple of shows, James didn't have a camera. Paul didn't have one. But Gloria, we got it on camera, but we had some issues, so it was in a little screen. But the last episode I did with Meigs, full camera, and this one, full camera. I think it's good. I think people like it.
Good. Good. And, like, again, to answer your question, like, I agree with you. I really like this round of interviews you're doing. Not that I don't like your other stuff, because I do. I go to your site and pull up some interviews and listen to them and whatever. I haven't had a chance to listen to the fourth one, but I listened to the first three. Everyone's had a little bit of different journey, and there's some solace. You know, there's some peace knowing that even though we've all had a different journey, and we're not still going to agree on everything, but no one is. You know,
no,
but we're not crazy. We're not goofy. There's other people out there that that intelligently want to question things and talk about it and a forum to do it. And so I'm hoping maybe if anything, some people listen to these interviews and they feel a little bit more confident and a little more inspired to breach out a little bit or get out of their comfort zone and talk to some people about these things.
Yeah, and when we never know when, whether you believe a Mandela effect type thing or just, you know, controlled history, we never know when our history is going to be erased, altered, or whatever. It's important that we have all these conversations and share our information, document it. And, you know, if our videos do change somehow, at least we've had these conversations and we'll have our memories. Our memories are what are keeping us sane right now. Our memories, our own senses, our own you know, discernment. It's not all the bullshit that's coming in from here and there and the TV and the people shouting at us. No, it's, we have these senses that God gave us.
I'm going to tease you again here. I better not be Mandela. I want to be episode 5 now. I'm going to be freaking Mandela.
Hey, so guys right? that are listening.
I'm going to come on tomorrow or something. It's going to be episode 7 or something, right?
Right. So guys that are listening, you heard him mention that each person's story was a little bit different. These are all in the My Awakening playlist on my channel. They're also in the Dose of Reality playlist that has like 50, 60 videos, all my shows. But to get just these type of interviews, they're all in one playlist, so you can just let them play or you can share the list with people. But like what Adi was saying is, you know, there's all these different topics, and that's why I try and mix it up. I try and break it up in each person's interview, give them a few minutes on each one, let them talk about what they want to talk about, the topics they're passionate. Like if he wants to talk about what was it, 9/11 and the Federal Reserve, Paul wanted to talk about the 7/7 bombings woke him up and then it led him to the flat earth. Meigs is about 9/11, flat earth, and Mandela. James was mostly about 9/11, media fakery, false flags. You know, so there's a little bit of something in every interview for all you guys. So if you hear something you don't necessarily agree with, just listen and you'll see the person speaking from their heart. And maybe you don't agree because you haven't researched that topic. Let's be honest. Whatever topic it is, I don't want to point at any one of them. I think every community needs to be open and hear everybody's ideas. And don't call anything a psyop, whether it's no planes on 9/11, the Mandela effect, the flat earth, vaccines being bad for you, chemtrails being sprayed in the sky, the Federal Reserve being a joke. Don't laugh at anything and call it a psyop until you look, because you look like a selective truther when you do that. And that's pretty much all I want to say.
That's a good point.
That's about it. But Adi, yeah, Thank you for coming on.
No problem. It's been an honor.
And I will put links in the show notes for everybody that's listening. You know, once it's going to get uploaded to YouTube like instantly after we cut the stream, I guess. I'm going to go on the show notes tonight and I'll drop in links for shows that I've done with RD. My first show back after taking, it's funny because I know Ab, if you're still in the chat, Fakeologist, when I first came back to the radio, Ab interviewed me on his show the first time I did anything. And then my first show back, I had RD on and we talked about, it was pretty much a 3-part show. I mean, we talked for like 3.5-4 hours and we went from 9/11. Apollo, NASA,
some questions.
Flat Earth, Mandela effects. Yeah, we kind of ran the gamut. We did. It was a good 9/11 talk too. So I'll make sure I put that in the show notes. And again, thank you everybody. Weekend I'll probably have a new show. You guys just sub the channel and you'll get a notification. We're gonna do them live every time we can on camera. And on my regular show, we get deep into any or all of these topics at once. It just depends what's on the plate, and we get real deep. These aren't to like my last interview, she said a thing or two I didn't always agree with. Maybe you said a thing or two I didn't always agree with. Paul and James said a thing or two I didn't necessarily agree with, but I'm not here to correct people and get into the debate. Just tell your story, and that's it. And I hope everybody enjoyed it. So thank you, everybody. Cool. You've been listening to Dose of Reality Radio, therealnewsonline.com. Brian Stavely, my guest RD Patchak, and thank you for everybody that tuned in and just help share the channel and help us grow because we're trying to get it going and get the word out. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Cool. Thanks.